Well, good morning, friends, family, listeners, Good Shepherd flock. Jay Martin here in Washington, North Carolina on a early morning on May 22nd, 2022. And it's good to be back out in the garden again. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege that it is to read your word, to speak your word, to walk this journey with you, to share the overflow of my heart with listeners who choose to dive into this recording. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations, those things that are in our inner speak, that bounce around sometimes for good or for ill, those meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, for you are our strength and our rock and our redeemer and our restorer. And we praise your name this morning. So it's good to be with you. I am on a crazy journey of 7 weeks where I am in town in Washington speaking at Good Shepherd 1 week, and then I'm out of town another week. And it's been a run of a wedding and a glorious baptism of our grandson Wright last Sunday in Charlotte, to a mountaintop in Montreat next week, and then on to Atlanta for more family gathering and getting the son ready for a big move and that sort of thing. So I'm a little bit in a disjointed rhythm of bringing messages. But the good news in all of that is that there are 4 speakers, friends, leaders, witnesses to God's word and God's grace at Good Shepherd who have been speaking in my absence, but speaking very much with the Lord's presence. And I share that not just to kind of set up what I'm going to share this morning, but also just to encourage you and remind you that we who are pastors, who are proclaimers of the word, are not alone in our capacity to share messages of God's grace. So I give thanks to Caroline Colley and to Leanne Lee and to Leah Moore, who will speak Memorial Day at Good Shepherd about community groups, to Bo Brooks, who's going to share on June the 12th about what it is to invest individually. So I'm in this series, and if you may have listened a couple weeks ago, and if you're not, it's okay. You can jump right in to the waters. They're deep, but they're fine, and they are safe, and they are invigorating. And I reference waters because the series is entitled Swim, and it's really built around the 4 pillars of, I believe, what it is to be a faithful church and a Christ follower within the church. And the S of SWIM is to serve, is to serve. And these are really not in a particular order. They form a total whole, the serve, the worship, the invest, and the meet components of this. And I actually shared this at a wedding a couple of weeks ago, that a beautiful God-ordained marriage is going to be one in which man and wife, bride and grooms, they serve one another. And they worship together. They don't flourish in isolation. And they invest individually in their own journeys, in their own self-improvement, in their own walk with the Lord, in their own relationships with others. And they meet. They meet across the table. They meet to communicate. They meet in intimate ways. And they are called to be one flesh. And the church is called to be one. That's exactly what Jesus prayed for as he was on that night before the crucifixion, that one, our oneness. This morning at Good Shepherd is also a graduation Sunday. It's a couple of weeks earlier than we normally do this, but we tried to gather 4 or 5 grads together, and this was the best Sunday for it. And it was kind of ironic and interesting. This week I had a pastor friend contact me and ask, he said, you know, I'm doing a commencement prayer. You know, what do you recommend? This is a young pastor and was just trying to think of what a commencement prayer was. And it's so, I think it's very interesting, the use of the word commencement at a graduation. For to commence generally means to begin, to launch, to endeavor towards an end and or towards a new journey. And graduation, of course, is the celebration of receiving a degree over many, many years in many cases. And this time, this morning at Good Shepherd, it's going to be for high school. So it's a culmination of, you know, 12, 13 years of study to reach this pinnacle of a high school graduation. And yet it is also a launch point. It's also a crossroads point. So we, in the context of doing this SWIM study this morning, we're also going to celebrate the grads as they dive into deep waters and as they also swim. So a couple of passages to start our morning. And one, as I'm speaking on worship, we're going to look at how worship is in action, how worship happens in the church, how worship happens in our service, in our individual seasons. But I'm going to read from Revelation 4, because when I think of worship in my church of origin at First Presbyterian Charlotte, and the grand pipe organ and the grand sanctuary and the beautiful stained glass windows, and yet the warm feeling of family and the impartation of truth, one of my favorite worship songs, favorite hymns, was and is Holy, Holy, Holy. And we don't often sing that in a contemporary setting such as Good Shepherd. We will this morning, actually. But it derives from Revelation 4, where John the Apostle has been given this vision of what is going on in the heavenlies. And he's looking from the temporal realm of Patmos, this island. He's looking through this door into the heavenly courts. And what he sees, in part, is worship. He sees these remarkable creatures in Revelation 4. You know, halfway down in verse 8 begins like this. It says, "Day and night, they, these creatures who worshiped, never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits upon the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who was on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" By your will, we are created. By your will, O God, we have our being. So what we talk about every Sunday morning is what is it to worship? What is it to be created of God and to have within us his very being? And what is that purpose? What is that purpose all about? Every day, it would seem, in the human journey is a crossroads of sorts. And for these grads who are celebrating commencement, the end of their high school journey, and commencement, the launch of the next phase of their lives, whether it's going on to college, or for one, it's working at a Christian camp for a year, or, you know, pondering. And it's there's more pressure, it seems, than ever to, and there are more choices, it seems, than ever as to what trajectory to pursue. I'm just reminded of this amazing verse, and we're going to lean a lot into God's Word this morning, which says this, Jeremiah 6:16, "Stand at the crossroads." And so, friends, whether you're a high school grad, a college grad, you know, in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 20s, 30s, 40s, you stand at the crossroads of your daily life and ask, and you look, and you ask for the good way, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. God's invitation to us this morning is to walk in his ancient paths and find rest for our soul, and that's to swim, that's to serve, and it's to worship, and it's to invest in individual growth, and it's to meet together. And I want to tell you this, and I may step on some toes here, but if you're listening to me, you may not be able to gather in worship today. And maybe you listen and gather, and you know, wow, I'm triply honored at that reality. But if your worship has become simply isolated listening to the wonders of technology, whether it's video, audio, or some combination thereof, and if you're listening to four or five services on a day, we would listen to two or three during parts of COVID, I want to encourage you, if you are physically able, to gather physically with other believers to encourage one another. Last week, one of our leaders, Leanne Lee, who gave the first of the W messages in this series on worship, just talked about the power of gathering. The Hebrews 10, 24, 25, "Let us not get out of the habit of gathering together, but let's gather for worship to spur one another on and encourage each other." And yes, you can worship on a solitude of a mountaintop, or you can worship from the depths of a valley. You can worship on a boat. You can worship on a train. I feel like I'm reading Dr. Seuss here. You know, you can worship in the rain, but you can worship in the sunshine. But we are called to gather. Ecclesia means literally ecclesiastical. It's the church gathered for worship and for service and for community building. So I want to encourage you, if you've gotten out of the habit of gathering, if you are comfortable from a health standpoint, if you are physically able, if you don't have a worshiping community, seek one out. And honestly, if you're in a relationship with me and you want me to help you find one, I'm happy to do that. Whether it's I've helped people find churches in the Triangle of North Carolina, I've helped them find churches in Santa Cruz, California, in Denver. There are ways to look. So that's a little aside there. But as we continue to worship, I want to give you tools to pour out your adoration, pour out your prayer, to pour out your devotion to God. That's part of what worship is to adore and to devote and to pray. And Leanne really leaned into that last week. And she talked about how Good Shepherd had been a, a place of prayer for her youngest son. It had been a place of gathering and of nourishment and of teaching for her in her adult life, as it is for all of us. Psalm 95 is a psalm of worship, and the first seven verses read as follows. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We, friends, are the flock that is under his care. So praise be to God for the reading and hopefully the understanding, the growth and understanding of his holy word. So as I meet with the grads today, and as I meet with you virtually, again, don't check out because it's a Sunday that is somewhat specifically targeted at you know, graduating high school students. I've chosen this morning to invite a young lady who has become very near and dear to our family. It's her name is Jasmine Vega Gomez, and she and our son Sam have been dating for over 4 years now. And Jasmine, by her own story, and she's going to share part of her story in worship at Good Shepherd this morning, has come to a faith in Jesus that's growing, and she will describe herself as a baby Christian, but she was baptized as a believer over Christmas of this year and continues to seek the Lord. And part of our Good Shepherd mission is to know Jesus and share the journey. So I've chosen to invite Jasmine to share part of her journey on this graduation Sunday as an encouragement to not just the high school grads that she's 3 or 4 years older than, but also to the church family. And part of her journey has led her to take two trips. She's never been on an airplane other than a four-seater in Beaufort County under something called Wright Flight. But, you know, she had been saving money to return to her family's, her mother's home when she came from Mexico 40 years ago. Jasmine wants to go back there. But before that, she feels led to serve in other parts of the world. So she's actually having an amazing summer of going to Thailand to serve in everything from teaching students to reforestation to helping with water supply. She's traveling with another young lady from Charlotte, leaving in a couple of weeks. Then she's coming back and she's going to Costa Rica, where she will also be in a service project and be able to use her fluency in Spanish as part of her work down there. But her journey, Jasmine's journey, is taking her to all kinds of exciting places. And the nature of faith is that we journey, and we journey to serve, and we journey with the Lord on board, and we journey in a spirit of worship. One of the tools for training up these young people, number one, God's revealed word, which is codified in the Bible, is the place to begin in the beginning, and to go all the way through Revelation to see God's love story of redemption for us all. And it's interesting, as the grads gather this morning, I've got several items for them. I've got some tangible things for a couple of the young men. I've got knives. Of course, you give boys knives, but we've given knives for years that are engraved. And one of the reasons for that is that there's a wonderful passage in Proverbs which says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And part of our journey in faith is to have relationships built which will sharpen us, which will refine us, which will hone us to be more like Jesus, so that we might love our world better and we might sin less. That's part of the iron sharpening iron. And for some of the young women, I've given crosses, and they're these little round discs that have an empty cross shape in the middle. And the reminder there is that because the cross is empty, that Jesus no longer hangs there, and because the tomb is empty, that means that we have the opportunity to be filled with the resurrection power that raised our Savior from the dead. And by his Spirit, we are equipped and we are comforted and we are encouraged to go and walk this abundant life journey of adventure. Another tool that I'm sharing this year with the grads, and I refer to people, gosh, at least once a month, is a I guess I would call it a new classic. It's been out over 20 years now, but the book Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren Many of you have read it. It's probably on a dusty shelf somewhere in your house. There are 50 million copies that have been printed, and the beauty is that Rick Warren, years ago, as this book exploded in popularity, decided to have all the sales, the profits from this book, go to various ministries around the world and not to line his own bank accounts. But Rick Warren, in this book, offers up 40 days of specific chapters which point us towards the life for which God intended us. And it, you know, it begins with formed for God's family. What on earth am I here for? Planned for God's pleasure, to walk and enjoy with the Lord. Formed for the family, created to become like Christ, shaped for serving God, made for a mission. And it's interesting, the 40 days is built around the 40-day theme in Scripture. You know, we probably remember having just come through Lent and Easter that 40 days was the number of days Jesus had in the wilderness. But what you may not remember is other 40-day experiences. I mean, of course, 40 days of rain for Noah and his family. 40 days post-resurrection that Jesus spent with the disciples before his ascension. And today's actually Ascension Sunday. There was a 40-day test before Goliath, before David took down the giant. There were 40 days that the spies were in the promised land before crossing over the Jordan, Joshua and Caleb and Aaron, and being part of God's realization of that promise. And the interesting thing about these 40-day journeys in Scripture is that many of them were in solitude, and most of them were hard. Most of them were hard. They weren't 40 days at the spa, or 40 days at Disney, or 40 days, you know, on a beach or on a mountaintop. They were 40 days of invested lesson learning. And this 40 days of purpose, this PDL, Purpose-Driven Life, I've got a copy for each student. And it's been updated to the point where we've got QR codes and videos from Rick and all sorts of associated tools. But two things it encourages: digging into God's accompanied word, there are hundreds of passages referenced in these 40 days of study. It begins with the simple phrase, and you've probably heard this before as well, it's not about you. I mean, one of the lies of the evil one, who I believe and Jesus believed exists, is that he causes doubt in our minds, and he says, you can be as gods. He promises this prideful ascension to a place we weren't created for, but we are created to be image bearers of the living God, and to swim in his way, to serve and to worship and to invest in him personally and to meet with other believers so that we might be equipped to be light bearers to the world. Part of that hymn that I quoted essentially from Revelation 4, Holy, Holy, Holy. Early in the morning, our song shall rise before thee is part of the lyrics. And I'm going to use the Old English because that's how I hung it, how I heard it and sung it. And so early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. You know, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, though the darkness hide thee. It talks about how darkness of this world tends to hide the glory of God. And in our worship, in our pursuit of him, we embrace the light that Jesus came. John 1, you know, the light that was the life of men came into the world, but the darkness has not understood it. And we're still in a battle with darkness, aren't we? We're still at a crossroads. We still awake each morning, fighting some temptation to wander into a dark place or to not avail ourselves of the power source that God's light is for us. So for these young people who are getting a copy of Purpose-Driven Life today, I'm challenging you. This is something to read every so often. I've challenged couples to read this together. I had a young man ask me recently what would be a good family devotion that would reach across generational lines from teenagers up to 80-year-olds. And I just said, you know, Purpose-Driven Life. Start right there and take those three or four pages a day into a 40-day journey of understanding what this path, what the crossroads path leads to through the person of Christ and growing near to our Lord. As we continue to talk more about worship this morning, again, Leanne Lee, to reference her message, did a beautiful job with several passages of Scripture, one of which was in John chapter 4. And I know I'm all over the place. And again, I'm preaching every other week, so I'm probably trying to pack too much into one morning. But hang with me here. She went into John 4, the encounter of Jesus with the woman at the well. And in that passage, so much happens. You know, he equips her, even from a broken and isolated place. He shows her favor. He shows her love. And he sends her back into her own village to be an evangelist and call the people out. And her invitation is simply to come and see a man. come and see a man. And she finishes that, who told me everything about myself, including some of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it records in John 4 that they believed her testimony, but they grew more when they listened to what he said. So worship is about coming to see a man and ascribing to Jesus that which is true of him: his love, his mercy, his kindness, his patience, his firmness, his perfect will, and his perfect way. We are called to adore and to devote ourselves and to pray. We are called in a personal way. And again, I'm getting to the eye of swim in terms of this investment and this isolation time of perhaps reading Purpose-Driven Life, getting more into your Bibles. Part of the story for this morning, I was downtown at Bo Brooks's shop, and Leanne's shop is right there beside his in Little Washington on North Market Street. And there is a local businessman and retired evangelist. He's not retired from evangelism, but he's retired from business. And he had brought by literally a handful, five student Bibles yesterday. And Bo wasn't sure what he was going to do with them, but he was going to distribute them. And it caused me to think of the clutch nature of God's presence. And that this morning I'm presenting Purpose-Driven Life, and some of these students may not have good study Bibles. And these were good NIV student Bibles that were written specifically for their demographic. And it was just, it could not have been more timely. So in addition to getting a Purpose-Driven Life, these students are going to receive a Bible which is accessible. And by accessible, I mean it explains itself. You know, you've got the inspired Holy Spirit spoken words of testimony about the love of God written by 40 different authors, 66 books over thousands of years, stories of grace and stories of conquest and stories of redemption, and also stories of hardship. And in that word, we walk in the ancient paths and find rest for our souls. And I'm inviting you again into that place. I'm also here to point you to a couple other definitions of worship, for we're talking about worship this morning, obviously. And there's a verse in the book of James, James being Jesus' brother, and James being really an equipping letter for Jesus' followers. It's not come to Jesus. It's if you follow Jesus, then you'll guard your tongue. You'll guard your money. You'll realize what divides you. You'll keep your feet away from paths of temptation. But he says this, which is a very specific verse related to worship and religion. In fact, in the NIV version, James 1:27 says this: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So part of our worship is serving others. Jesus often says, he says many things, but to simplify it, the two great commandments: love the Lord your God with heart, mind, and spirit, and strength. Love neighbor as self. On all these hang all the law and the prophets. So, you know, hundreds of pages of scripture hang on these two abiding principles, which is essentially saying this: love God, which is worship. We've talked about that a little bit this morning. And love neighbor as a corresponding act. So God's measuring stick for how our relationship is with him is to watch how we relate to others. So if you feel like I've got my worship on, that's kind of modern parlance where I love the music and I've come into a place and I'm feeling it, but we're walking out of a worship space without a heart for widows and for orphans and for homeless and for marginalized and for isolated and for depressed, and you name your category for those who are outside nobody's outside the grace of God, but are outside a community of faith which is there for encouragement. If we're not pursuing acts of service, then as James harshly says, this is the religion that is pure and faultless. And we're to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. That's part of worship too, to focus on that which Paul writes about in Philippians, that which is noble and admirable and praiseworthy and pure. So at the end of John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, what is said by Jesus is that he's desiring that a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So worship isn't just a feeling. Worship is built on a reality. Worship is built on Jesus' way and truth and life. And what is the truth? The truth of the gospel. Remember, I've drilled down on this for years now. Gospel means that someone has come and won a battle for you and declared you to be free. And what you do with that freedom is to swim upstream against the flow for God. You're to serve. You're to worship. You're to invest. You are to meet with other believers. And you are to do so, again, against the odds, but in the encouragement that is the body of Christ. There's more equipping that goes on relative to worship, and I realize this is a huge topic that can't be covered in 1 week, 2 weeks, 10 weeks. It's an ongoing journey with Jesus, this conversation about worship. One more passage for you, and then I'll bring this message to a close. Paul writes in Romans 12, after 11 chapters of kind of spelling out the nature of the gospel coming into places of darkness and Jesus coming when we were yet enemies and the nature of grace, he says this as a response. This is the opening salvo as far as how to respond to the grace extended through Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. So worship here is what? Is offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your act of spiritual worship. Again, worship, not simply be listening to Christian music in your car. That can help shape your mind in the right place. Worship, not simply being showing up at a church, trying to get an attendance pin, trying to be noticed, trying to outdress the person down the row, whatever our false motives may be. Worship is a spiritual act of sacrifice. And out of that comes the ability to test God's will. You know, so often that question of what's God's will for my life comes up. And I think about these graduates, I think about commencement. Many of them have made decisions about, like I said, about college, about one, Jackson Wilder was looking at NC State at UNC. He's wound up doing an ROTC program at Duke, which is just remarkable. But I don't know that he or his parents saw that coming a year ago. You know, another, Emily Giffen, is pondering college and also pondering a year of missional service. Emma Wood is taking a year to work at a camp. Brian Martinez is and again, at a crossroads, trying to figure out education, work, some combination thereof. Trying to figure out, what are God's specific plans for my life? Again, hopefully purpose-driven life will give a guide to that. Not at the end to say, okay, take a personality inventory and we'll assign you to a career trajectory. That's not what this is about. What it is about is discerning God's will for our lives, His perfect, pleasing will that Paul writes about in Romans. Heard a great message, going to credit Andy Stanley yet again, as I do so often, who talked about, you know, walking in the will of God. And his basic, simple, yet very profound encouragement was this: learn God's sovereign will, learn God's moral will, and His specific will follow much more simply. So the sovereign will is the big picture, God over all the universe. He created the universe, declared it was good. He created man and woman in the image of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, declared them good. They fell, He worked out a plan. Worked out a plan, that's such a cheap way of saying it. He enacted the transformative act of human history, which was the cross, in order that we might be ransomed back from slavery unto sin. But the sovereign will is that, as John 3:16, is that all might come to know the Lord because He sent His only begotten Son, that the world might not perish. That's God's sovereign will. His moral will is 10 commandments plus. It's loving thy neighbor as thyself. It's loving the Lord your God with heart, mind, soul, and spirit. It's walking in God's moral ways. It's walking in God's sexual and social ethics. It is walking in God's ways relative to how we treat our temples, which is our bodies that God chooses to dwell in. So the more that we learn and embrace His sovereign will, the more that we walk in the healthy boundaries of His moral will, the more God's specific will become clear to us. But the final challenge is this, and I've been using this acronym SWIM all morning and for the last couple of weeks. To SWIM, S-W-I-M, serve, worship, invest. You could use an I for individual or for imitate Christ, to meet. To SWIM is what we're called to do. We're not called to sim. To sim. Okay, to sim is to simulate. To sim is to drop the worship and simply serve, invest, and meet. Sounds like a business plan. To do that, serve, invest, and meet without worship means that we're not bringing God into our story. Author and translator Eugene Peterson, who translated The Message, once said that the Christian walk is very easy to fake. It's easy to sing the right songs. It's easy to pray the right way. It's easy to write the right checks. It's easy to look good on the outside and to learn to do the dance and to walk the walk and to talk the talk. But to truly walk the walk is to walk a walk of worship. To not worship, which involves servanthood, which involves isolation, which involves meeting and gathering, it encompasses all four of these, is simply to be a sim, to be a poser, to be a simulator, to be a fake. We got to look in the mirror regularly, friends, and ask, am I worshiping in spirit and truth? Am I giving worth to that which is greater than myself? Am I looking to the Most High God and giving Him the glory and giving Him my desperate, wounded heart for Him to redeem, restore, and to pour His love into, that I might be a temple of His grace? That's the question for you this morning as you stand at the crossroads. Praise God for the reading, the understanding, and the journey with Him in the person of His Word, Jesus Christ, in the written Word inspired in the pages of Scripture. We thank You and I praise You for my friends. In Jesus' name, amen.